Oh, I didn't realise it at all. I was always convinced, right up until tonight, that it was going to work out. It was inevitable.
4-2, Forest lead, forward by Tudgate, looking for Earnshaw. Mistake, Earnshaw in! Earnshaw buries it! Forest have hit 5 against Derby!
A fantastic free kick for Nottingham Forest. And Pearce has done it again. Big moment this, Hughes! A shot for Longo!
25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
Davis, yes! Fantastic free kick! Notts County double their lead, and now they are dreaming of Meadow Lane!
Lucy seeking Cohen, he's got the better of Matter. Now Chris Gunter, storming into the box. And the volley from Majewski! Fantastic goal for Nottingham Forest from Majewski! An absolute beauty!
3 minutes to go, stoppage time. 1-1. As Bent is beaten in the air by Wilson. Ball breaks for Tesha. Tesha left hand side for Osborne. Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on! Smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to Over the Trent here on URN Sport, the podcast bringing you all that you need to know about your local football teams, Nottingham Forest and Notts County. I'm with my resident experts on both our local football sides in the room, Nick, Alex and Tom. Today we're going to be having a little review about the end of the season for both clubs, where Nottingham Forest narrowly escaped relegation in the Skyback Championship by the skin of their teeth after a 3-0 win against Ipswich on the last day of the season. And we'll also be talking about Notts County and their comfortable finish to the season in Skybet League 2, plus all of the reaction on the new ownership at Nottingham Forest and also transfer news, as well as new contracts being signed for both clubs as we enter the summer transfer window. But we're going to start by having a look back at some of the highlights of Nottingham Forest's season in the Skybet Championship, including some of the best goals from the campaign.
Right footed in towards, always looking for Pekis, cleared as far as David Vaughan with a volley! What a goal! Terrific volley from David Vaughan, right footed from 25 yards out. That belted past the keeper, Morosi. And Forest get the goal there. Early dominance as deserved. 10 minutes gone. The Reds lead it by a goal to nil. Thrown down the line to Burke. Burke turns away from challenges and into the penalty area. Really tight down. Oh, what a goal! What a goal to win it! Oliver Burke has found an impossible angle to roll it under Rob Green and into the net. Now gives it to Lansbury. Shoot. Lansbury forward for Velios. Velios shoots. Yes. And Velios finds the net from 25 yards. Comes the free kick, drifted in by Lansbury. Mills nods it down back post. Oh, what a strike! Overhead kick from Apostolos Velios! It fizzes into the net! Absolutely brilliant technique from the Greek striker! They have Hildeberto Pereira from fullback, charging forward at the moment and making his way towards left wing and finding Osborne and still going into the penalty area. Oh, it's a great goal! From Hildeberto Pereira! Pereira led the charge from right back! He cashed to touch it to Osborne. Not much of a run-up though. Osborne flicks it up and volleys it! Oh, what a goal! What a goal from Ben Osborne and Forrester in front! 22 minutes of the second half! Cash just laid it back to Ben Osborne and Osborne flicked it up with one touch.
Takes a moment to change the headline. Here's Vivios. Talking point. Osborne's corner. No doubt about that one! It's Daniel Pinios of all people!
Yes, so a topsy-turvy season to say the least down at the City Ground. Numerous highlights of the season, Tom and Nick, your resident Nottingham Forest fans in the studio today. From that Velios bicycle kick against Rotherham to that Ben Osborne free kick against Bristol City. What were your guys' favourite moments of the campaign?
I'm going to go joint win against Brighton and win against Huddersfield. Obviously, the best moment was staying up against Ipswich, but you've got to look at it in terms of the whole season. There's another one of those moments where we like hosted a really top side in the Championship in Brighton and Huddersfield, and we just showed that actually when we want to be, we can be on par with those sorts of teams, and we totally like deconstructed them. David Wagner said after the match when we beat him 2-0, just didn't expect the way we were going to set up. That's just the sort of things you can take from a really bad season where you have a bit of promise and you know that actually the players have got more in it than they often show.
My favourite part of the season probably the derby game when Pilnios scored the last minute header. I mean, I almost fell over an old woman in the middle of the goal scrambles, but I mean, I think it was the atmosphere and obviously Zach Clough scoring that three after 3 minutes. It was pretty amazing, and just to, you know, just to knock something over our nearby rivals, it was great.
And Alex, what kind of highlights do you pick out over the course of a campaign? A very inconsistent campaign, and one which of course saw change in management from Philip Montagnier to Gary Brazil and now to Mark Warburton.
Yeah, I'm going for the most recent of them all, and I'd say Ferran's finally leaving the club will be definitely, might not be from the playing side of the season, but I think it's definitely, I mean, I'm sure the two Forest fans here will agree with me that it's the thing that the club needed to happen. And hopefully, I mean, the signs are good early on. With the early signs of Marinakis sound good and promising for a bright future for the club.
Yeah, I mean, in an interview that Marinakis had with the club on his arrival at the City Ground, he seemed very much, his priority was very much in terms of breeding youth development and kind of continuing the structure of the club, which has seen them produce such great youth talent. And I think the squad actually produced and put more youth players on the pitch than any other team in the Championship over the course of the season, which is a massive testament for Gary Brazil and Jack Lester.
Yeah, I saw one of the stats on Twitter the other week. I think an Ipswich fan had worked it all out and put it up on Twitter. And Forest youth players, I think, notched up about 5,000 minutes over this season or something, and the next closest I think was Barnsley, and they had about 2,500. So it just shows, you know, what a great job the academy's doing. Of course, I think also academy players have had a lot more playtime due to how poorly run the club's been and things like transfer embargoes, but still nevertheless all of the academy products from Joe Worrell to remember when we had Jamal Lascelles and Carl Darlow, they've all been real quality.
Yeah, interesting you pick up Joe Worrell there. Of course, he's had his England under 20 cap recently as well. But Nick, for you, who has really stood out the most in terms of the youth players and those that are kind of homegrown? Of course, I think Ben Osborne really showed his quality on numerous occasions this season and really kind of came out as a real key player for Forest at times where they were really desperate. You know, that Bristol City match where there was a lot of Fawaz out protests before the game. Nottingham Forest didn't play particularly well, but they really, really needed a lift at that point. And Ben Osborne brought that with a fantastic free kick.
I mean, I think Ben Osborne's definitely, probably in my opinion, one of the best players of the season. I mean, we had an awful season, but Osborne, he brought creativity, scored a few bangers. But I mean, for me, I think he could be even better if he played out wide, because at the moment he's playing so central, and I think his best position is out wide. But from my point of view, the best young player of the season was Jordan Smith. Obviously, Henderson got injured when we got thumped by Norwich away, and then Smith had to come on and making his debut, never really played at that sort of level. And yes, he's made a few maybe errors at times, but I mean, he looks so promising. He looks a bit like Carl Darlow, where he can produce some amazing saves. Like the Ipswich game when, I don't know who it was up front for Ipswich, but somehow he managed to tip it onto the crossbar, and it was pretty amazing.
And Alex, a campaign plagued by inconsistency throughout, of course, the change in manager. You had the fact that Nottingham Forest survived the season by the skin of their teeth, literally a 3-0 victory on the last day against Ipswich prior to two defeats and a win at that final end of the season. What would you like to see, and what do you think that Mark Warburton and Marinakis, the new owner, needs to instill for the 2017-2018 campaign to kind of get that stability back?
I think first of all, we need to get the fans back on side. I mean, I support Bolton personally, and the kind of boardroom turmoil really plagued our season, and it not only affected things off the pitch, but on the pitch as well. And I think that's the first thing that Manikitas has got to do. He's got to kind of reinstate that feel-good factor amongst the fans, and that will definitely ebb on to the pitch. I also think the first thing that the team really need to address is their defence. I mean, I don't think Matt Mills is good enough. Hobbs is always on the injury table, and I'm not a big fan of Michael Massin either. So I think they really kind of got to build from the back. They got a lot of creative players like Ben Brereton, Zach Clough and Britt Sombalonga. So I think they really got to build from the back for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not been too much in the way of transfer rumours and activity at the City Ground thus far in the transfer window, although David Vaughan has signed a new contract. Tom, do you think he's the kind of experience that Forest need in amongst all these youth players to really drive the team forward next season?
I'd absolutely agree with that. Yeah, I think he's got a cool head in any situation. Like, when you watched him play against Ipswich, he must have been like his 15th man of the match of the season, because he just doesn't seem to crack under any sort of pressure. He's just cool on the ball and he doesn't lose it, and he's pretty good at passing and claiming possession back as well. I do want to see us put some youth alongside him though in midfield, because at the moment we've just got basically Cohen and Vaughan, two left-hand sided very defensive midfielders. And I think we just need to get somebody basically like a Lansbury that we obviously lost to Villa. I think we need to get somebody who is that all-round sort of player who can attack and defend. And that would really then allow us to play Vaughan in his best position and then also be able to push on from the midfield as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because there were a lot of signings in the January transfer window, like Ross McCormack on loan, Zach Clough, of course, on a permanent deal, Tish Bowler as well, and of course Lansbury went the other way to Aston Villa. So it seems like the attacking department is almost kind of sorted in Mark Warburton's eyes. But nonetheless, Nick, do you think that there are positions, like Alex and Tom have mentioned, that Warburton really needs to fill and take advantage of filling with this upcoming transfer window?
I think definitely one of the key areas we need to invest in is leadership. I mean, there's not that many leaders on the pitch. I think we had about five or six different captains this season. Some players didn't even know who the leader was on the pitch. I mean, I went to the Reading away game, and Matt Mills, when Forest were losing 2-0, he started yelling at the crowd to start supporting him. He was wearing the captain's armband. And I think for me, definitely it is in defence, where, I mean, Mills and Hobbs. Hobbs is a good player, but he is injured the whole time. Mills, I mean, there's rumours he's going to China. But I mean, it's someone like, obviously there's been those memes going around like John Terry coming back to Forest after he had a 6-game spell. But it's just someone who maybe a bit old, but he needs a bit of leadership in the back to maybe create a partnership with Worrell, just to help our side go forward, and so we can actually mount a serious top six challenge.
Yeah, and just on that note, I think not only do they need experience, they need championship experience as well, because I think that's what plagued the team early on in the season. Not only did they have a manager who wasn't used to the championship, they also signed a lot of players who weren't used to the championship. So I definitely think that they need to sign a lot of kind of players who have proven track record in the championship. I know McCormack didn't come off, but players of his ilk I definitely think will help them next year.
Yeah, definitely. And this upcoming transfer window, Tom, is surely a good opportunity for Mark Warburton to really get his side and mould his side into the team that he wants it to be. I mean, of course, he kind of came into the role of manager of Nottingham Forest in mid-March. It was about the time he came in and didn't really have a lot to play with, other than that the ultimate goal was survival in the Skyback Championship. But do you think now he is the man and he will make those signings to really drive the club into another dimension in the next season?
I really don't know. I really can't predict what Warburton's approach is going to be for the transfer window, because obviously we saw his time at Brentford where he managed to do it without basically spending any money and doing it with players that, when you look at their team sheet, you really don't think they should have been anywhere near the playoffs, and yet he made them a really good side. And then at Rangers, obviously Scottish football, it has its differences to England. So I really don't know whether with these new owners he's going to decide, yeah, I'll go out and splash the cash, because who knows what kind of money they're going to give him, or whether he's going to choose to actually just choose players he knows and bring them in on frees and like under £1 million signings. But the thing is, I trust him because I know he's a good manager, and I've seen what he's done at Brentford and Rangers, and you have to call both of those spells pretty big successes for him, especially Brentford. So that's the thing. I don't really mind whether he's going to go out and spend loads of money or get cheap players that he can turn into good players, because I just do trust him with his record.
And I could personally see Warburton raiding Brentford of a lot of his players. He did that at Rangers, obviously didn't have the finances or the kind of stature to get some of the better ones, but I could definitely see him going for Hotter, yeah. Especially maybe Harley Dean at the back. Mm-hmm. If you do sign Hotter, he will be a fantastic signing. Yeah. You don't really need an attacking player.
Absolutely. I remember watching when Huddersfield came to the City Ground last season, when David Wagner just came in, I remember thinking, what a brilliant style of play, and this team could actually go places, and of course they have. And the team that did that for me this season was Brentford. They came to the City Ground and they were just so good, and Hotter was the star, and he actually got an applause from the Forest fans as he came off and was substituted. And yeah, he's just a wonderful player. I think he's one of the best in the league, and obviously Mark Warburton signed him at Brentford, so that's the dream, honestly. If we can try and get that sort of player at the City Ground, it would just be the dream.
Brentford and Huddersfield are definitely sides that are testament to the fact that it takes a team dynamic to succeed in the Championship. You know, David Wagner talked about how his team went on those camping trips to Sweden to build team unity, and it's that kind of team unity that really does serve the club well in the Championship and make them be competitive. But there's been an element of that at Forest this season where it's been sort of almost a collection of individuals at some points, as opposed to a kind of cognitive team effort. I don't know how it's kind of looked like from the stands, Nick, from your perspective.
One of the big things that got pointed out to me was on Sky Sports. They said that we've changed the lineup 23 times a season. It was after everyone was annoyed at, I think it was Huddersfield, when they changed their lineup, and then Birmingham went and won with 10 men against them. But I think it's just Warburton needs to get through the pre-season, get his signings in before pre-season if he can, get a team to go know his best 11, know his best 4 or 5 players who he can bring on and rely on, and just keep the ball rolling, maybe make 1 or 2 changes. But Montagnier, I mean, the man obviously did wonders getting one of the Spanish sides into the Champions League, but he just never knew who was going to play, who was going to be in goal, who was going to be in the defence. Like, no one really ever knew if we're going to play 5 at the back, playing 4 at the back. Just need a bit of certainty on the pitch and the players really to grasp the shirt.
Yeah, of course, just casting our eye back to earlier in the season, you mentioned Philip Montagnier's reign there, and kind of plagued by the fact that he changed the squad and rotated the squad on so many occasions that there just couldn't be any kind of opportunity for any sort of stability at the City Ground. But Tom, do you think during Gary Brazil's reign he was kind of a little bit unlucky not to get the job on a full-time basis, given that he has been such a wonderful servant to the club, and him and Jack Lester instilled such a philosophy in the academy that was then in his spell brought on to the first team?
I'd agree in part with that, because I think absolutely when we had such a incompetent manager in Montagnier, obviously he had to go, and rather than search around looking for the right man on short notice, give it to somebody you know is an experienced head and knows the club in Gary Brazil, you've certainly got that. But I do think after a few games you started to see that he's perhaps not, you know, that he's an academy manager for a reason, he's not actually in the dugout of a football club, because I do think he demonstrated that he's perhaps not equipped to take the team forward in the long term. But he certainly did a brilliant job of actually giving us stability. We of course got our third clean sheet of the season in his first game in charge, so that's you know, I'll take that. It's massive progress, to be honest. But yeah, to be honest, I think whilst it was really harsh on him to give him the official job and then decide actually we're going to get Mark Warburton, it was still the sensible decision in the end.
I mean, the thing is, I don't understand is, obviously, season before we had Dougie Friedman and then Paul Williams. I think we conceded the least amount of goals in the whole season. And in the summer, we didn't change that much in the defence. Obviously, a new manager, a new playing style. But what I can't get my head around is, either the players know they're conceding or just what happened. I mean, I know there was a lot of injuries, but I just don't get how we went from conceding the least amount of goals in the league, or second least in the league, to then conceding second most behind Rotherham. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that.
I mean, I think it's just tactics. I think when you see someone like Big Sam will go into a club and like Crystal Palace, who was shipping goals on Alan Pardew, and straight away the first thing he did was sharp shop. So I think it really does depend on the manager. And for next year for Forest, I mean, Warburton is more of an attacking-minded manager. He likes to play good football, which I'm sure Forest fans will be glad to hear. But he also does have some defence stability. So maybe he didn't have that under Montagnier. I mean, I didn't see the inner workings of his time at the club. But
I mean, I think we'll just, on the conclusion to the discussion on Nottingham Forest and our review of the season, with arguably the factor that has hindered their progress so much this season, and of course the ownership, Fawaz has finally been relieved of his duties at the club and was replaced by Marinakis around about a couple of weeks ago. Among his manifesto points for what he'd like to instill at the club, he wants to return stability to a club with huge potential which belongs to the elite of the Premier League. He wants to not make rash pledges saying, "I never give promises, I deliver." Back Mark Warburton says he will work within the EFL financial rules to support him in the transfer market. He wants to build formulate a fans advisory body and a youth council at representative attending board meetings, and wants to reduce ticket prices to reward fan loyalty. So, Alex, do we think that Marinakis has got the philosophy and has got this kind of ethos that he wants to? He wants to really carry the club forward. Of course, a former Olympiacos owner, really, really an experienced man in football ownership. Do you think he is the right man to do it? I mean, surely it couldn't be any worse than what was existing up under Fawaz. I mean,
everything he's said so far has sounded really promising, but the old saying is, beware of Greeks bearing gifts. So, I mean, we saw what happened at Leyton Orient when their chairman said, "We're going to be in the Premiership within 2 seasons," and now they're plummeting down into the depths of the non-league. And I think they were on some reality TV show, their club in Italy, I saw, which is just, and their cameras in the toilets. So I mean, you've got to be slightly wary of new owners, especially one who's had criminal, I mean, he hasn't been convicted of the charges, but had charges levied against him. So I think you've got to actions speak louder than words, I think, with him.
I have to say, it all sounded really, you know, professional, positive, you know. It's just basically everything he said, even if he just said one of those things, it's more than we've had in the past 5 years. So it has been brilliant, just the initial statements. And obviously the chairman released a new statement today. Whilst we haven't seen any like concrete new policies or kind of things actually put into real life, it's obviously early days, but what they're saying sounds really good. And all of the people that have been appointed, and obviously Marinakis himself, have a, you know, really impressive record at their former clubs, which is, whilst of course Fawaz was successful at his Kuwaiti club, it's obviously a bit of a gulf to then step up to the English game.
Yes, well, to take a very close eye over the summer months on the activity down at the City Ground and the ownership of Marinakis and Mark Warburton in the transfer window. But moving over to matters over the Trent, Notts County finished their season in 16th in Sky Bet League 2 after 3 defeats and 1 win at the end of the season. A last day 2-1 defeat to Newport County, who stayed up in that league. They've been very active by comparison to Forest in the early stages of the transfer window. Milsom have signed a new Notts County contract along with Hayden Hollis. They've also been very active in some signing Alessandra from Pools.
Completely fresh start for me, and I'll be looking forward to, you know, meeting the lads, and because obviously everyone's completely fresh face to me, but I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk about the medical. It's obviously absolutely boiling out here today. It must have been one of the more difficult ones you've had during your career.
It's the toughest I've ever had, to be fair. Yeah, the heat didn't help. We did a 1600 metre run. But no, it was good. You know, it's just the way of the world these days. You've got to make sure you're right. To be fair, it's the first bit of exercise I've done in a few weeks, because I feel like I know my own body at my age now, and I needed the rest. So no, it was good, and I enjoyed it. I don't think I need to go to the gym today anyway.
Yes, Lewis Alessandra, their new arrival there from Hartlepool. Lewis Alessandra is one of the arrivals, but of course many have been given new contracts and released in some very swift changes already in the transfer window down at Meadow Lane. Shola Amiobi, Richard Duffy, Elliot Hewitt, Mike Edwards, Hayden Hollis, Rob Milsom, John Stead, Curtis Thompson and Alan Smith have already received new contracts. Meanwhile, Thierry Odell, Adam Campbell, Scott Loach and Mark Gates have been released by manager Kevin Nolan. I think the key one, though, to bear in mind is John Stead, who's declared that he's 50-50 whether he's still going to play for Notts County next season. The arrival of Lewis Alessandra, he's a striker, of course, very much kind of in his prime of his career in the lower leagues. Tom, do you think that's kind of what Kevin Nolan will need in order to replace John Stead if he has to, or do you think that he'll want to go out into the market again and buy yet another striker? Of course, Sholi Amiobi did very well towards the latter end of the season last year.
I think the signing of Alessandra is probably made with a view that we're going to lose one. We might lose one or two of the players we want to hang on to, like Stead. But also, Nolan's objective will be to keep all of those players at the club, because Stead, he was injured for almost half the season and still managed to get 14 goals. But signing Alessandra certainly, you know, lessens the problems that would cause if Stead did decide to go to the USA. Obviously, Stead's a really old striker. Alessandra's in the prime of his career, you'd probably say. You know, it's not a massive blow if they do lose Stead now, but of course it's someone you want to keep because he's so experienced, big guy up front, and just gets you goals.
Yeah, just touching on what Tom said there, I mean, both Stead and Amiobi are in the twilight of their career, so I mean, even if both do stay, they probably can't kind of play, I mean, well, 2 times a week, which is quite often in League Two. So I think having a bit of depth regardless in Luis Alessandra will definitely be beneficial for the club.
Yeah, it's been quite a theme, isn't it, that Notts County have retained a lot of these players that are in the kind of twilight of their careers, yet do have this wealth of experience from the higher leagues in English football, the likes of Alan Smith, Roy Carroll in previous years, and of course Sholi Amiobi and John Stead. Do you think, Nick, that this is the kind of approach that Kevin Nolan is going for? Do you think with all these releases and signing of new contracts that he's kind of building his squad in this transfer window in very much the same way that Mark Warburton probably will be in this transfer window?
I think firstly, Kevin Nolan, I think obviously he's a man who's only played in the Premier League with his personal experience, and technically still isn't actually retired. But I think he's trying to sort of depict that at Notts County. Obviously he knows it's going to be harder playing 1-2 football, nice pass football in League 2. But I think he is trying to get away from the straight direct play. Obviously they're trying to use Amiobi and Stead as his hold-up players and then bring everyone else into play. But I think he definitely is looking to shape it up and to try and get them playing a bit more passing football. I mean, I've been to about 4 or 5 games this season, and I only went to Nolan to the games that Nolan was in charge, but he definitely has got them playing better football. They had more possession than everyone. Can't remember who exactly it was against, but they were down to 10 men after about 5 minutes, and they still managed to keep the ball. But yeah, I think he'll look to potentially bring in a few more players who can just keep the ball and keep ticking along and hopefully lead their way up the league.
Yeah, it was looking very bleak, wasn't it, down that Meadow Lane during the mid and early part of the season last year in particular, of course, languishing down in 23 and 24th in Sky Bet League 2. Alex, what do you think that Nolan needs to do, despite all these signatures and issues over contract? What do you think he kind of needs to do in the next season to kind of propel Notts County to the playoff and promotion places, which of course they should be aiming for, really, with a club of that size in comparison to a lot of others in that league?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to do much of what he's done so far. I mean, I think the form underneath Nolan might have actually had them in the playoffs if he had started the season. So, yeah, I think he's got to keep... They've got the squad. I mean, on paper, they really shouldn't have been struggling with relegation, and they should have at least been challenging for the playoffs. So I think a few signings, especially signing Grant from Forest, either on loan or permanently, will definitely be a necessity to help with their hopes this year. And that's just a thing, a bit of youth alongside the experience. You can't rely on these aged players just to kind of guide you throughout the season. You need that kind of explosive pace that comes from younger players. So I think that he needs to get that balance and hopefully recruit a few more players as well.
Yeah, Georgie Grant in particular, they're a real, real start during the latter half of the 2016-17 campaign for the Magpies. Tom, do you think that their kind of 16th place finish and not such a good finish with those defeats against Newport and Portsmouth at the end of the season is kind of a fair reflection, that position, on their campaign as a whole?
I'd say it was obviously like a season of two halves almost, so you can't really pick a position. But I guess, yeah, it's somewhere in between, you know. Their form under Nolan was playoff worthy, and obviously under Sheridan they deserved to go down, but to even it out with Sheridan, yeah, mid-table was where they deserved to be in the end.
Well, I think there's a bit of an unsung hero down at Meadow Lane. I think it was about February when Nolan was appointed, they had a takeover, and Alan Hardy, a local man who owns Nottinghamshire Golf Club, he took over, a really experienced businessman. I mean, he's got about 4 or 5 businesses himself, knows how to run a club from top to bottom, and I think he's implemented the right structure. I mean, he reduced the season ticket prices, match day tickets, brought in about 9,000-10,000 fans, which for a League 2 club is pretty amazing, and he's said to Nolan he's willing to give them the money, but it needs to keep it keep it under control. And I think that the fans saw that, more fans turned up, it gave the players a bit more, we've got more fans here, let's actually play some good football. And I think basically it was just, they cleared out all the rubbish they had in terms of the board and the manager, and they've got some a decent backing behind with the owner, and they've got a good manager. So I mean, I can't see them finishing any lower than about 10th next season. I mean, from watching them play, I really think they're going places.
Yeah, I mean, the arrival of both Alan Hardy and Kevin Nolan in the mid part of the season really did boost the morale upon a club which was languishing in the depths of Sky Bet League 2 last year. But just to move back to matters on the pitch, Tom, Terry Hawkwood has joined them from Lincoln City, but of course Adam Campbell, one of the star players really for the Magpies, has left the club, been released. How much do you think they'll cope with his loss, and what kind of sort of key players are you looking out for over the course of the next season to really come out? Of course, we've mentioned Shola Amiobi and John Stead if he stays.
I think, it's the new signings that you're going to really look at. In Alessandro and Hawkridge, they've got, you know, two nice... Well, Alessandro is a striker and a winger, I think, I'm not sure, but Hawkridge, I think, said in an interview he's definitely a sort of creative winger. Hawkridge got 5 assists last season, Alessandro got 10, so it's a really good spread for the amount of games they played, and they've certainly got creative players. And obviously the crucial thing now is to pen down contracts for Stead and Abiobi, or if they're going to get a different striker, get him in, so they can start putting away these chances that these two wingers look like they're going to now create. And then, of course, if they do manage to get Grant back from Forest, I think he's obviously really made a home for himself at County, and he looks to be really tearing it up in that league. His energy perfectly suits the sort of defensive midfielders they have in Milsom and O'Connor, both pretty old players now, but Grant, obviously young, lively, got so much energy, and he's the real attacking midfielder centrally that they need to balance out that sort of defensive midfielder at the moment that they have. Because if you look at just Milsom and O'Connor, the next sort of midfielder in that line, now Grant's left, is Kevin Nolan himself. So it's somewhere they really need to, you know, upgrade.
And just talk about Campbell there, I don't think that many County fans would be that gutted he's left, to be honest. I mean, he did show glimpses of his talent. I mean, he was had quite a lot of potential, and he's quite highly regarded at Newcastle before he came to County, but I think he only showed glimpses of his brilliance in his spell at County, so I don't think there'll be any real tears shed at his loss.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it was a very inconsistent season, like it was down at the City Ground for Notts County. But nonetheless, I think Kevin Nolan and Alan Hardy will be using this transfer window to try and salvage and regroup the players as well as the club in the transfer window. Now, just moving on to another story which broke over the Easter period, which was that the Notts County women's team, in fact, folded over the Easter period. Alan Hardy faced a near £1 million bill to keep the club afloat this season, and had hoped for the restructured debts to be inherited from the club's previous chairman. The local businessman said keeping the club afloat would have been financial suicide, as operation costs were expected to be £500,000 in the 2016-17 campaign, a major loss compared to the total projected incoming revenue from attendance and sponsorship at £28,000. Hardy said, "I've been tremendously impressed by the passion and enthusiasm shown by everyone connected with the ladies' setup. They have represented Notts County with dignity, success and utmost professionalism over the past 3 seasons, but the fact remains we simply cannot afford to have such huge operating losses." It was obviously a massive moment for the Notts County women's team, such a massive team in the FA Women's League, in women's football in this country, and to fold them, I think on a personal level, is just a real disrespect and disregard for their quality and what they bring to the football club. What are your guys' kind of perspectives on it? Firstly, I'll start with yourself, Alex.
I mean, it's definitely a shame. I mean, they were competing in the highest league for women's, and they were a very good club, but I'm not that surprised, to be honest. As you said, the operating costs were very high, and at the moment, unfortunately, the women's game does not get the money that the men's game does in terms of sponsorship, crowds, TV money, etc. So, and a lot of male teams at the moment are struggling financially, it's not no surprise that the women teams were also struggling to make their means in terms of finance. So, even though it's obviously sad to see a team fold, I mean, that's just always sad for that to be the case, I'm not that surprised that it happened.
I mean, I think Alan Hardy, he's a good businessman. He has to look at it logically and think, I'm coming into a club that's been in with the men's side was in administration, so is the female side. Had a look at the cost way, and I mean he's never ruled out maybe a new women's side coming in the future, but I mean the way it was going, they had to fold the team. But obviously the last few weeks he's recently stated that now there's a new team called Notts County Girls for under 9s, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14 year olds, which he hopes to actually improve the game. But I think the real question is that there's just a real lack of money in the women's game. Obviously people prefer to go watch the men's game because it's quicker football, but I think that is something that the FA need to, or grassroots level need to somehow construct a way to pull more money into the women's game, because if as it stands you can only see more and more clubs going out of business. Because I mean I think I saw a recent statistic and this season women's followings was about 20% lower than last season.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a massive shame that because Notts County are actually one of the biggest clubs in the women's game, and so it's a massive shame that they had to collapse like this. But I really don't think you can blame the chairman of Notts County, Alan Hardy, because he explained how he sort of inherited the problem. It's not something that he's sort of mismanaged and created. It's something from the previous regime that he just didn't need the burden. With how badly Notts County, the men's team, is run itself, you know, to then take on the burden of a second football club and also sort that out, it was obviously just infeasible. But he has always said in the future I'm perfectly willing to get this big women's football club back up and running. So I think we'll see that as soon as he starts sorting out his priorities on Kevin Nolan's side, you'll see that soon enough. He seems like a good chairman, he knows what he's doing, and he's a local guy as well. He's building links every day with the city in terms of sponsorship and everything, so I have no doubt they'll try and get that women's side back up and running.
Yeah, well, we certainly hope he'll do. I think it was the manner more than anything in which it was announced, of course, sort of on the day without any kind of prior warning for the women's club. I think it came as a mighty shock to a lot of supporters and a lot of players like Laura Bassett and coach Leanne Crichton as well at the club. A very disappointing day for them, but nonetheless we'll be keeping you up to date on matters of Notts County and Nottingham Forest throughout the summer and their transfer window activity. But that's it for this review of the season. I've been Joe Tanner with Alex, Tom and Nick on this episode of Over the Trent. Thank you for joining us.
This is URN Sport.